Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Wednesday. It's The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome in the 10th of October with Greg McKinney and Lonzo today. Glad you're with us. Cloudy skies, a little bit of drizzle out there, but not a lot of rain just yet. More rain on the way. Coming up on the show today, we will chat with Chet Turner, coach at Woodmont High School, at about 3:30 this afternoon in our Greenville County First Team Sports High School Football Report. Woodmont, suddenly, after losing their first four games, they've won three in a row. So they're in the playoff hunt, and they have a big game coming up Friday night with Westside. So we'll talk to Coach Turner about that in the final hour, about 3:30 this afternoon. Three questions at three coming up. Stephen A. Smith chimes in on the Dallas Cowboys situation. Jason Garrett. I have to hear some comments from Will Muschamp regarding the quarterback situation for South Carolina this week. Again, word is that if he is okay, Jake Bentley starts against Texas A&M. Coming up on Saturday in Columbia. But if not, Michael Scarnecchia is getting some reps and, of course, played the entire game last week and will be ready to go for the Gamecocks. Some NBA news regarding Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. We'll get to that coming up on the show as well. And of course, the baseball last night. Yeah, it's all over for the New York Yankees. The Red Sox advance. They move on in the baseball playoffs. And we'll hear from Mookie Betts. Played a year, or at least part of a year, here in Greenville for the Drive. And one of the stars, certainly, right now for this Boston Red Sox team. So that's some of what we have coming up for you today. We're watching this storm, Michael, Hurricane Michael. Top winds of 150 miles an hour. That makes it a Category 4 hurricane, and that's a big one. And it is just now coming ashore in the panhandle of Florida. Looks like the eye of the storm is just to the east of Panama City. So pretty much near direct hit to Panama City, Florida. And looking at the video, it's pretty incredible. I was watching some Periscope video from somebody who was foolish enough to stay behind. I guess if they're going to stay behind and shoot live Periscope video, we should at least watch it, right?
Well, yeah. Apparently, there are a lot of people who decided to stick this thing out.
Yeah, the Weather Channel's there, too. Looks like the eye, I guess, is expected to cross the shoreline in the next hour between now and 2 o'clock. And already seeing some pretty impressive pictures of the wind speeds around Panama City Beach, Florida. Category 4 is a big storm, no doubt about it. And I guess this is the biggest one for the panhandle of Florida in 100 years or so. Reports that I've seen, anyway. So it's serious, folks. And if you have family, friends in the panhandle area or anywhere down like in South Georgia, whatever, you might want to certainly keep an eye or an ear out and try to stay in touch with them if you can. I don't know if phones are out yet. Saw some live coverage earlier this morning before I came to work that communications were still up, but it's just now happening. The worst of it over the next few hours for that area. And there's going to be a lot of damage. Hopefully, minimal injuries and loss of life in this thing. Hopefully, most people got out. But yeah, I guess some people stayed around, including weather reporters who must stand out in the storm, and they are doing that again today. It was trees blowing, man.
If you lived on the coast, what would you do? I get people wanting to stay and protect their property that kind of stuff. You'd
I'm
be
out.
Gone?
Yeah. When you leave, why would you stay? What can you do to protect it? Stand in front of the storm? What are you going to do?
I don't know. I think it's more of concern about looting and stuff. Maybe I don't know. I mean, and then you get older people or people like are younger and they're they have no kids or nothing. They're like, yeah, I got this. I mean,
no, I get the draw of wanting to ride it out because it would be cool until it is not cool anymore and it gets way out of hand. The flooding is going to be pretty crazy there. The only good thing about this one, I guess, is that it's moving fast. Compared to Florence, it's moving so much faster. So shouldn't last too long. And the track, by the way, I guess it took a little bit more of a westerly tilt, which is not really good for us because they had it tracking to come up through Georgia and into the Midlands to the low country of South Carolina. They've already canceled school in Charleston and Dorchester and down in the Charleston area for tomorrow because of expected problems from this. That's how fast it's moving. They have canceled school in, I think, three counties down around the Charleston area for tomorrow. And we will have probably some, events canceled because of rain here in this area. But haven't seen much of that yet. It's a little early yet. They're still watching to see what's happening. It should get out of here before the weekend. Should be okay for Friday night, unless, you know, there's still standing water. We get so much rain. And then Saturday should be fine because it's gone by then, unless something changes.
Possibly some lower temps on the other side of it?
Yeah. I mean, the temps have been lower this week anyway, so that's good. As far as college football, one good thing is that, you know, the biggest school, I guess, in the track, close to the track of the storm is Florida State in Tallahassee. They're off this week. That worked out well. They have a bye week. They're not expected to resume practice at Florida State until Saturday. They practiced yesterday morning. Willie Taggart said much of the team was getting ready to get the heck out of town right after practice yesterday. Their next game is October 20th against Wake Forest, a home game. Taggart canceled a Wednesday practice because of the storm. He said, I think we only have two guys that will be here, and they're local guys, so they're staying with their families. Everyone else will be gone, and will come back Saturday for practice. They also had a recruiting trip that coaches were going to take starting today. They just went ahead and left town yesterday after practice. Just went ahead and got out of town. Several other Florida State athletic events were canceled. The annual Garnet and Gold men's basketball scrimmage scheduled for this weekend, Sunday, already been canceled. Basketball coach Leonard Hamilton said, the safety of our student athletes, staff, and supporters in the Tallahassee area is paramount. We want to ensure the availability of the Tucker Center for any university or community needs associated with the storm. And given the current uncertainty, this decision seems to be best for all. That's the other thing that we could see, you know, going forward into the weekend. South Carolina has that home game on Saturday against Texas A&M. And, you know, again, it's not out of the question that if there's enough of a problem coming up through the eastern part of South Carolina from the storm, that they won't want to commit resources to that. The same issue there. Don't expect that the conditions at Williams-Brice will be that bad, but will they need resources deployed elsewhere? All that's kind of up in the air right now, but it looks so far so good for that to continue. And I'm trying to think of anybody else, you know, that would be in the path that could be affected as far as college football games over the weekends. Probably not going to. Georgia in Athens, they're on the road to LSU, so no problem there. And of course, Clemson's off this week, and it doesn't look like the upstate's going to get much more than some rain out of this. Maybe a good bit of rain, but some rain nonetheless. So anyway, it bears watching. It is a really serious, fast-moving storm, Hurricane Michael. Now the eyewall coming on shore near Panama City, Florida. The center right now, 15 miles west-southwest of Mexico Beach, Florida, to be official. So it's just 15 miles offshore right now and moving north-northeast at 14 miles an hour. So within the hour, should be the eye should be crossing land here, and then we'll see what it does after that. How much strength does it lose? How fast? Which way does it go? Sometimes when they hit land, they change directions somewhat suddenly, but it is a serious situation right now. Look at it. Is that building on the left, like, is that damage from this storm, or is that just some old torn-down building already?
You know, I was thinking the same thing, that they found an old abandoned building that, you know, no one bothered to shore anything up, and of course it's getting some damage.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure that that's occupied.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that it is either. Florida State has canceled classes on their campuses in Tallahassee, and I guess they have Panama City classes too. Those, of course, are canceled because of this storm situation. So a situation that certainly bears watching for everybody over the next couple of days, and we'll see if it impacts anything here in upstate South Carolina. All right, we have a lot to get to today. If you want to give us a call, 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN on Twitter, ESPN Upstate, at ESPN Upstate. Let's go ahead and take an early call here. Brian's on the line first up today. Hi, Brian. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Doing good. What's up today?
I wanted to comment on something I saw yesterday on ESPN that was pretty interesting. It kind of it was about college football, and it kind of went against the narrative so far into the season. A couple of things that really surprised me, and I wanted to share them with you guys. Sure. The first was it talked about strength of schedule so far through the first six games. South Carolina was seventh, which obviously is, you know, pretty impressive. They played a tough schedule. Clemson's was 11th,
yeah,
which I thought was kind of weird, considering that, you know, the narrative so far has been that the ACC has looked really bad and Clemson doesn't play anyone. Well, you know, it had them ranked 11th so far, which I know that's going to change, but that was still surprising even to me as a Clemson fan. But the other really surprising thing they shared, they spent a segment talking about how dominant Alabama was and that they may be the best team that's ever played college football, this particular Alabama team. Mm. And they went through what Vegas would make a line tomorrow if they played, you know, each one of the top teams. Mm-hmm. Georgia, they would be given Georgia 8.5 on a neutral field, Ohio State 8.5. I think Notre Dame was maybe 11, somewhere in that range. Clemson was 7.5.
Okay.
It was the smallest one. It was the smallest one of all.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Clemson hasn't looked great so far this year, Vegas seems to think that they hold the best shot, so to speak, of upsetting Alabama. Not, you know, 7.5 is still a large margin, but keep in mind that when Deshaun won the national championship in Clemson in 16, they were a 6.5-point underdog then.
Yeah.
So that's not really that far from that. So I thought those were interesting and kind of went against a little bit of the narrative that's been talked about so far this year. Thanks, guys. I enjoy the show.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Yeah, that is interesting. Look, I mean, the thing about Alabama this year is that their offense might be the best they've ever had. Certainly the best under Saban. You know, there are questions about the defense for Alabama. They just gave up 31 points to Arkansas last week. That kind of got glossed over, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to look at this team and go, this is the best team ever. I mean, let's see what happens at the end of the season first, and let's see what happens when they start playing some stronger competition.
There's no doubt that Alabama is more explosive offensively, and they've got a passing quarterback now. He looks awesome. He looks awesome. But, you know, they're going to have to face some better offenses down the road. And, you know, the offenses that they have faced so far are not that impressive, and they gave up 23 to Texas A&M, 31 to Arkansas. You know, I mean, they blew them out because they scored a ton of points, but it'll get a little tougher as Alabama faces, you know, better teams. Now, the other thing about Alabama, though, is, you know, LSU's not looking as imposing anymore. They do play at LSU, so it'll probably still be a challenging, relatively low-scoring game. If LSU's defense can make it a low-scoring game, then that'll be an entertaining game. And then Auburn already has two losses. Already, October. Early October, and Auburn already has two losses, so that one doesn't look all as imposing as it did maybe last year as well. But in any event, Alabama will have to face some explosive offenses once they get to the playoffs, assuming what we all believe is true, that they will get there. And we'll see how they do against the likes of an Ohio State or, you know, Georgia in the SEC championship game. Or Clemson. Clemson's offense is improving. Certainly looked good last week. Trevor Lawrence getting better and better. And, you know, so Clemson may be a real offensive challenge to that Alabama defense by the time the postseason rolls around, should they meet again. And that's certainly very possible. Good call, though. We appreciate that, Brian. 844-477-3776. The health care text line is 71307. We'll get back to the phones in a moment. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. Also, Will Muschamp coming up on the quarterback situation for this weekend for the Gamecocks. That's ahead. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We just got a school closing announced for tomorrow in the Upstate. Lawrence County, School District 55. I guess there are two districts in Lawrence, right? And that's one of them.
55 and 56.
So District 55 will be closed tomorrow. They just announced that. The news release from the district said that the National Weather Service has placed Lawrence County in a tropical storm warning zone, which means we may expect winds in a range from 39 to 73 miles an hour. Any winds in excess of 30 miles per hour make it hazardous for buses to be on our roads. You got those high-profile buses, and you don't want to be driving them out in the wind. So I get that. We will see if anybody else follows suit here. But Lawrence District 55, no school tomorrow.
Well, since that's my district, that means I don't have to come to work tomorrow.
I think that's right? What that means.
That's what I'm going with.
You might want to take it up with your boss, though. Just to be on the safe side. 844-477-3776. Joe's on the line. Let's bring him in next. Hi, Joe. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Great show, as always. I just wanted to speak with you about the NCAA and their boneheaded logic in canceling or not allowing the University of North Carolina and University of South Carolina to do the basketball game that would have raised money for the hurricane victims. It's just bizarre logic.
Yeah, I didn't hear the explanation of why not, but I don't like it either unless they have some reason I haven't thought of. Did they say why?
Roy Williams, in his press conference, implied that it would have given some sort of advantage to both teams.
Okay.
I don't know. In terms of a PR thing, I think they should just go ahead and play the thing. Let the NCAA come in and try to sanction them and really embarrass themselves.
Yeah,
you've got the opportunity to have Michael Jordan throwing up the first tip off, playing in the arena there for next to nothing, mm-hmm. and putting all the money toward the hurricane relief. And somebody's got to explain it to me because I don't understand it.
Yeah, I got you. Appreciate the call, Joe. I think I'm with you here. I'm looking at a story on it now. Roy Williams said he was dumbfounded that the NCAA didn't grant the waiver to play the game with South Carolina to raise money for hurricane victims. The NCAA allows Division I programs to play fellow Division I programs in the preseason only if it's a non-publicized secret scrimmage.
Okay.
Or if the proceeds go to charity. Well, isn't that what they're doing? They're going to charity. South Carolina already, though, has an exhibition game at Colonial Life Arena against Augusta University. And they have a close scrimmage scheduled against Virginia Tech on October 28th. And North Carolina has two such games, an exhibition game and a close scrimmage. And the rule is you can only have two of those a year. So I guess that's the reason. They already have two of those. Each school does. So the NCAA says, no. Whatever. Kind of dumb and, a little bit selfish. And I don't know what the advantage would be for those two schools if they played an exhibition game.
See, that also, it kind of implies that some of the other teams would complain about it. I really don't think that would happen. Do you? Really?
Somebody would probably complain about it. Somebody probably would say, hey, that's cheating. Look at the rule book. Anyway, they're not going to do it. They can't do it. That's the decision from the NCAA, so that apparently will
not
be happening.
Little update on Lawrence. 56 went ahead and decided they're closing, too.
Okay, so both Lawrence school districts, no school tomorrow.
So Lawrence is shut down.
So I guess this is the weird thing. I haven't seen anything between Lawrence and Charleston shutting down. So what about all those counties? Down through Columbia and Orangeburg and all the way down to Charleston. I guess
I just got to believe this is the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. It's kind of odd that we had the little three-county thing out of the Charleston area, and then it popped all the way up to Lawrence for the next cancellation. But Yeah, you're right. There may be some others coming very shortly here. If the forecast doesn't change in a positive way, and it surely doesn't look like it's going to. Landfall happening about now down around Panama City and Mexico Beach in the panhandle of Florida, with top winds 150 miles an hour, Category 4 Hurricane Michael. Told you yesterday that Jake Bentley said that he's feeling better, that he's been practicing, that he expects to be the starter for the Gamecocks when they play Texas A&M, assuming they do, at Williams-Brice Stadium on Saturday. Thought we'd let you hear what Will Muschamp had to say about that. He said basically the same thing. Here's what he said in comments regarding Jake Bentley's availability for this Saturday.
He looked good today. I think he's going to be fine. And at the end of the day, we'll continue to look at some mobility things tomorrow. But, you know, again, I'm never going to put a young man in a situation where he can't protect himself, and he couldn't have Saturday. Mike performed really well, and a guy that we had a lot of confidence in going into the game and even more so, obviously, after it. And at the end of the day, we'll make decisions in the game to win the game.
Can you take us through that decision, why Jake over Michael?
Well, he's played a lot of really good football for us. He's got a lot of experience, and I think he's played really well. And obviously, Mike's got a smaller sample set, played well with his opportunity. But, you know, I'm making a decision where I think helps us win. And at the end of the day, that's what we're going to do. But we've got two guys I have confidence that we can win with, you know, so I feel comfortable with both guys.
Yeah, it's an MCL, grade one MCL sprain for Jake Bentley in his knee. And but, yeah, that's the least severe kind of knee injury that you can have. And so they feel like he will be able to go. And I guess this just comes down to this. Jake Bentley's experience gives him the advantage and the best chance to win. That's the way Muschamp feels about it. So that's you can't replace the experience that Bentley has over Michael Scarnecchia, as well as Scarnecchia played. And, you know, I don't disagree with that. The upside for Bentley, if he has a good game, is higher than with Scarnecchia. Just needs to take care of the football. The thing that Michael Scarnecchia did last week in the comeback win over Missouri is he took care of the football, didn't turn it over. And that's something that Jake will need to do if South Carolina is going to win this game coming up. Texas A&M, a two-point favorite. I haven't seen that line change. Two-point favorite in Columbia over the Gamecocks. So close one there. According to Vegas, they see this as close. And I haven't seen it move since they said that Jake Bentley would be the starter, assuming he's good to go this weekend. If it does, we'll let you know. 844-477-3776. Other injury news is that J.T. Ivey, defensive back, and defensive end D.J. Wonnum are not available this week. Still don't know about A.J. Turner, the running back. Concussion protocol for him, so he's a question mark for Saturday's game, but could end up playing in that game. 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line is 71307. Another break. We'll come back with more in a moment. You're listening to The Huddle. This is ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. So Horry County Schools, that's the Myrtle Beach area, just announced they'll be closed tomorrow, too. So I think we're just going to get this mishmash of school announcements today that will stretch from the upstate all the way across the Midlands to the coast closing. And I think we're going to get a lot more of them here as Hurricane Michael makes landfall at the Panama City Beach area of Florida and starts to move up this way. Another game that's happening that's somewhat in the potential path is Georgia Tech plays Duke in Atlanta on Saturday. You know, it's expected to go kind of southeast of Atlanta, at least the center of the storm, but that could change. There could be a lot of rain that could affect that. But again, this is going to move fast, and so as long as you drain fields pretty well, you know, shouldn't be that big of a deal for a Saturday game. Should be long gone by then, according to the forecast that we're seeing right now. We'll keep an eye on that. Hurricane Michael, a big deal, making landfall about right now on the panhandle of Florida. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Trying to figure out where Jimmy Butler is going to play. Basketball in the NBA in the future? That's been an open question for a while now. A deal fell apart over the weekend, but the Miami Heat remain interested in restarting talks with Minnesota to try to pick up Jimmy Butler. Butler has not yet practiced with the Timberwolves this season. Season's getting ready to start. He hasn't practiced with them. He was with his teammates in the locker room at the practice facility today, this morning, according to league sources. So he's showing up at the building, but he's not practicing. Obviously, they need to work out a deal and get Jimmy Butler moved here. The front office has been hoping that he would rejoin the team. At times, he's been working out away from the team facility since his trade request, which came, about 3 weeks ago. Minnesota and Miami got very close to a trade deal over the weekend. But the deal fractured before completion. Minnesota had shared Butler's medical information with Miami late last week. A typical last step before you finalize a trade. Minnesota moved to amend the framework of the trade, and then the talks collapsed on Saturday. Miami had softened on including guard Josh Richardson in versions of a possible deal for Jimmy Butler. And then they recoiled once Minnesota pushed late for a sweeter return on the four-time All-Star. Richardson's 25, considered a strong, young, two-way player, about 13 points a game in 81 starts last season, in the first season of a four-year, $42 million contract. So that's attractive because he's locked down for a little bit. Outside of the Heat, the Timberwolves have had no serious active talks with any other team, according to league sources. Butler has told Minnesota he'll leave in free agency in July, but would rather be traded now. Owner Glenn Taylor has pushed president of basketball operations and coach Tom Thibodeau and general manager Scott Layden to find a deal sooner rather than later for Jimmy Butler. So I guess it all kind of hinges on Miami, if they can get it done with him. And if not, going to be kind of uncomfortable there in Minnesota.
So do you think the holdup is they're trying to stop this from becoming a trend? I mean, we saw it last year with players saying, hey, I'm
going next
leaving.
Year anyway.
Yeah, so you might as well trade me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that puts a franchise in a situation where, you know, this guy's not going to show up.
Yeah.
But you don't want this escalating to the point where it's happening all over the league.
Yeah, I guess I get that. But also, I mean, you kind of, if you know a guy's leaving in 1 year and you don't think you can keep him, do you want him hanging around? Wouldn't you be better off to go ahead and trade him? Get him out of there?
Yeah, if you can get something of value. And in this case, mm-hmm. most of the guys who have this leverage are usually pretty good players. So you got a shot of not getting anything close to what you should get for them.
Yeah, and, you know, the closer it pushes down to the season, the more urgent it gets, and we're getting close now here. So we'll see. Next couple of days probably be pretty key in the Jimmy Butler situation, see if they can get something done. This was kind of an interesting story that made headlines. I'm not sure this is breaking news, but Klay Thompson says it's pretty cool to see LeBron James in a Lakers jersey. Klay Thompson was born in Los Angeles. Of course, his father is Michael Thompson, played for the Lakers. And spent his high school years in Southern California. And so he knows more than most how much passion for basketball there is in Southern California. And as his Golden State Warriors get set for their first meeting with the LeBron new look Lakers tonight in Las Vegas, Thompson can appreciate just how big a deal it is that LeBron James will be calling Hollywood home for at least a few years now. He said, I think it's pretty cool. I don't think you would have guessed it when he was with the Cavs, when he started his rookie season, but it's adding a ton of interest to the league. And the Lakers are about to get the media coverage that I was used to growing up. Yeah, that's certainly true. They're already getting it in preseason. He had played against James and his former team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, in four straight NBA finals. So Klay Thompson knows the intensity level will be ramped up now that the former league and finals MVP is in the Western Conference. Thompson said, the times we've seen him, he's always been at the top of the East during the finals. Those games have always been intense. I expect him to greatly improve the Lakers. They obviously have a bunch of guys who are proven now, so I do expect this to be intense. Anytime you play against arguably the best player in the world, no matter the sport, you want to measure yourself against him. So you play as hard as you can. He said, that's why guys like Steph Curry and KD, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, LeBron, James Harden, the top guys face their opponent's best game every night. So he says it'll be no different when we play the Lakers. I guess that's on TV tonight. You'll be watching that.
I believe it is. More than likely, I will. And I, That's high praise coming from Klay Thompson, who I believe is a free agent.
After this year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, he definitely is. Oh, you think I'll go with him? You think that's what he's doing, setting himself up to go?
It sounds like that's extensive there. That's, you know, it could be, yeah, I can't wait to play LeBron. That was like an entire article. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of words. Of course, they're playing tonight, so that's why he's being asked about it. And
do you remember ever hearing him say that much about anything? I don't. So.
Nah, he hasn't been a real talker. Nope. He thinks that the rivalry between Northern California and Southern California, so Golden State and Los Angeles, will grow now with the Warriors coming off two titles and LeBron expected to get the Lakers back into contention. He says the Bay and L.A. in any sport is always great. It will definitely carry over to basketball. Yeah, I agree with that. That's going to be fun to watch, but I have to be a little patient for the Lakers to catch up to Golden State and make it better. But, I think it'll be entertaining. Be entertaining nonetheless. And they play in Las Vegas if you want to try to catch that tonight. 844-477-3776. Let's take our final break of the hour. We will come back with more Mookie Betts coming up at the top of the next hour as the Red Sox clinched it over the Yankees last night in New York. That's ahead. Stay with us. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in. 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line 71307. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. We're with you until 2 o'clock. So landfall right now for Hurricane Michael in the panhandle of Florida. And it actually bumped up in top speed right at landfall to 155 miles per hour. That is the absolute top end of Category 4. One more mile per hour. If it gets to 156, it's a Cat 5. Oh, man, that girl just got blown out of the picture.
No, that's Cantori.
Oh, is it Cantori?
Yeah, that's Cantori. He's going in the pool.
I'm seeing the girl there for a moment. Yeah, a big piece of lumber just about hit Jim Cantori upside the head. And he ran. When Jim Cantori's running, it's a bad sign. Wow, he's at Panama City Beach. It's bad. Pretty serious stuff going on down there. It's blowing the weathermen off the beach.
He just got a hard hat and he went back out. Give me a hard hat. I'm going back out.
Yeah, when I looked up earlier, it was the girl out in the street, but they switched it over. Yeah, he's going back out.
That looks like a baseball hat.
A batting helmet.
Batting helmet, doesn't it?
I think
that's what it is. Without the cage in the front, he probably needs a cage. Mm. I know the cage is just for like high school and stuff, but the cage would probably be a good idea where he is.
155 miles an hour. Presumably it'll go down now that it's crossing land. Presumably. Pretty quickly, hopefully. It's a storm moving pretty fast. It's moving north-northeast at 14 miles per hour. You remember that Florence was just kind of sitting there when it hit shore near Wilmington a couple of weeks back. This one's moving more quickly, so should be ending a little more quickly for the folks right there on the coast, whoever's still hanging around. Yeah, Cantori just about took a dive into that pool. Just about went in. As you could see the debris flying around his head.
So if he does get hit into the pole, how long does it take the guys to go fish him out? Do you think they leave him in there just for a little? I mean, he could swim. It's not like it's cold.
Little TV drama.
Zoom in on his face.
Oh, man. I see the stuff blowing up behind him.
I think they set that stuff there on purpose. Why is it not blowing away?
It's blowing into the fence.
I don't think it might be connected.
You're such a conspiracy theorist.
Anything to make the shot look more dramatic.
It's dramatic, man.
I'll
give them that.
It's pretty dramatic.
It's some serious stuff there. Lawrence County schools canceled for tomorrow. That's all I've seen so far from the upstate, but we may see more. I mean, this is upstate South Carolina we're talking about canceling school for tomorrow when storm's just now hitting shore in the Gulf Coast. But that's how fast it's moving, and it's pretty big, and is expected to kick the winds up around here. And the school districts are worried about buses blowing around, high-profile buses blowing around in the wind. And that could certainly happen as this storm is coming ashore right now in Florida. So we'll keep an eye on it. We have some coastal counties that have already canceled school for tomorrow, right around Charleston area, and then Myrtle Beach, Horry County, just called off school tomorrow. A little bit earlier. I'm watching tweets on this. Cantore has gone to the helmet. Things are officially serious. Yeah. Yeah, Jim Cantore's put a batting helmet on so he can go back out in the hurricane. Because you got to be there, man.
You think he just had the helmet on standby, something, then I'm going to cut, and it's going to make it look even, I'm just saying.
I think you should put the full football helmet and buckle the chin strap.
Why not go out with the helmet in the first place?
Well, true. Yeah. No doubt. 844-477-3776 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We hope we'll get all our high school football in on Friday night. Things moving fast enough that Friday's supposed to be okay. Always subject to change, but as of right now, games are still on for Friday night. And we just got this morning this week's broadcasters statewide football poll for week 8 of the season. This is a group of broadcasters, 19 of us, yours truly included, that vote on the top 10 across all classifications. So it doesn't matter if it's 5A or 3A or whatever A. And here is this week's top 10. Dutch Fork has been at the top of the list all season long, and they stay there. They got all 19 first-place votes, so Dutch Fork is number one. Fort Dorchester, they had a close game, but they stay at number two. The Burns Rebels have moved up to number three in the state. That's steady progress for Burns. So congratulations to the Rebels. I know that Coach Reggie Shaw would say that doesn't mean anything, but they'll take it. They're getting some respect there for what they've been able to do. They took care of Malden last week, the only loss for the Rebels coming on the road in New Jersey against Don Bosco a few weeks ago. So Burns is number three. T.L. Hanna, the Yellow Jackets out of Anderson, are number four. Dillon at number five. South Point, the Stallions, are at number six. The Gaffney Indians at number seven. And the Dorman Cavaliers, who Gaffney beat last Friday night, they dropped to number eight. So we'll have number three against number eight here on Friday night, not on ESPN Upstate, but on 106.3 WORD as we move down the dial for this week only. So Dorman at 8 and Burns at 3 for that game coming up. Hartsville checks in this week at number 9. And we have a tie for number 10. Sumter and Abbeville got equal votes, so they are tied for the 10th position. Some of the others getting votes. There are a couple of upstate schools getting votes for the top 10 in the broadcasters poll. Chapman getting votes. Greer and Daniel all receiving votes for this week's poll. But it's Dutch Fork remaining at the top of the list. The Burns Rebels moving up to number 3 and Dorman at number 8. So that's a good matchup. That's the highlight matchup for this weekend in high school football. And again, we'll have it for you on 106.3 WORD because we will have Swamp Rabbits hockey for you on ESPN Upstate at 6:45 on Friday night. It is the home opener for the Swamp Rabbits. By the way, we're doing our show out at the well in honor of that event on Friday. So we'll be out there from 1 to 4. But the broadcast goes on the air at 6:45 with Mr. Sturgis handling the color.
It's going to be awesome, man.
The excitement is building for that coming up. So just make a note, because we don't want people looking for this huge high school football game and saying, hey, it's not on the radio. It is. 106.3 on Friday night. Usual airtime of 7 o'clock. The kickoff at 7:30 from the U, also known as Dorman High School.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.